The trade rumors are starting to ramp up a little bit. I'm going to run through the big ones. Who might stay? Who might go? Right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. Thank you for making it your first listen every day. Really do appreciate that. Locked On Celtics is free. It's available everywhere podcasts exist. The show is on YouTube, so make sure you're watching the show on YouTube. Really do appreciate that. Officially past 3,600 subscribers. Let's get that up to 37. Let's keep on marching. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal. I've also written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. You can get that anywhere books are sold. On my website, $30 gets you a personalized signed copy. I'm also one of the media voters for the Celtics All-Time team, the 75th anniversary team. So very honored to be part of that. This episode is all about trade rumors. I'm going to save the basketball talk as we get into the Sacramento game, and Sacramento figures into these rumors for sure, everybody's rumors right now this season. I'll get into actually one of the Sacramento Kings that I think could potentially be a target coming up later on in the third segment. In the second segment, the Ben Simmons stuff, where in the mention of Jaylen Brown still comes up. But let's start here with our old friend Steve Bulpet, who now is reporting for Heavy.com. And he had a piece published on Monday. It says, according to sources around the league, the Celtics have been extremely active in trade talks ahead of the February 10th deadline, looking to reconfigure the pieces around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Makes sense. So the entire piece, which I encourage you to go read, it's free on heavy.com from Steve Bulpet, longtime Celtics beat writer, very connected around the league. So he talked to a lot of people. The story is very heavy on the big picture stuff. The Celtics are trying to really focus on the Tatum, Jaylen Brown fit. It's about kind of getting out some of the bad fits, figuring out what the young players are going to do, which young players you're going to keep, and what do you go for after the, you know, you make those deals. What are you going for here? So it's an interesting kind of big picture look from around the league. Bottom line is everybody expects the Celtics to be very active, but at the same time, I'm not looking at them really dropping a big splash, like making a big splash at this trade deadline. What's going to happen? We've talked about it. I talked a little bit about it with Keith Smith. It's a continuing conversation over the next few weeks. February 10th at 3 p.m. is the deadline. What do we expect? My expectation is that this continues to trend towards a Dennis Schroeder trade. And when you think about it, I know there's this feeling like, well, you want to showcase him for the trade. I'm going to say you go the opposite way when it comes to Schroeder. People know who Dennis Schroeder is. You're not showcasing a guy that's played in the league as long as Dennis Schroeder has, who has this big body of work, who has shown everything that he has shown in the past this season. It's not like he's unveiled a new shot, a new whatever. He's the same guy. He's the same Dennis Schroeder. If you want Dennis Schroeder, you'll sign him. If you don't, then you won't. But playing him 40 minutes next game versus 4 minutes next game, it's not going to make any difference. There's nobody in a front office out there going, oh, who's Dennis Schroeder again? No, they all know this. So I think the recent evidence shows the trend towards phasing Dennis Schroeder out, towards moving him at the deadline. Because if they were going to need him moving forward, I think they would have just found ways to keep playing him. In this last game, the blowout, a blowout win over the Wizards, they didn't even find more than 22 minutes to play Schroeder. And part of that is, and I don't know if you remember when I did a piece on Boston Sports Journal way back when, I talked about it on the podcast at the beginning of the season. You regular listeners might remember when I was trying to break down the numbers, and the way to get Dennis Schroeder to his normal allotment of 30 plus minutes was going to have to include a lot of overlap with Marcus Smart. In this game against the Wizards, there was 2.5, 3 minutes maybe of overlap. Schroeder played 22 minutes overall. Now, would he have played a little bit more if it was a closer game? Maybe, but I don't think he would have gotten to 30 minutes. We can sit there and speculate, but I don't know if he would have been part of the closing lineup. He was minimized as it was. Go back to the Portland game. The Celtics went 7-plus minutes without a made field goal, and I was begging them to drive. And what's Schroeder's biggest skill? Attacking the basket, driving and attacking the basket. You could almost argue that if there was any time to play Dennis Schroeder was when they had gone 4 or 5 minutes without a basket, and you say, all right, look, let's get Schroeder in there, regardless of your defensive limitations. Let's just get 2 minutes of Schroeder in there. Just tell him to drive, get a couple of layups, and let's salt this thing away. But Ime didn't even play him through that. So that might have been a mistake strategically, but I see that as if you were keeping Dennis Schroeder for the long term, he would have been on the floor against the Blazers when everything was falling apart. What that was to me, now that I'm looking at everything a little bit, you know, with a little bit more time and thinking about it through the lens of Schroeder being traded, part of that was, hey, we're going to have to learn how to run an offense with no point guard, because if Smart's not on the floor or if Smart's hurt or whatever, or if Smart is traded, we might have to have Jason Tatum as our guy running the point. Now, I don't expect Smart to be traded. I think I'm clear on that. I feel like Smart is, if he is going to get traded, it's going to be part of a bigger deal. That's my opinion, but I could be wrong. But I think Smart is extremely valuable, and I think the league values him pretty highly. And so I think with his contract and everything, getting a guy like that who's good for, you know, a good culture guy, I think that's somebody that would be part of a bigger deal that has value in a trade. I think Schroeder is very clearly on the way out. You know, a few months left on his contract. I don't think there's evidence out there that supports them signing Schroeder long-term, even if he falls back into that range of $5 million or so. I don't think that's worth the money, the fit problems and all of that. So that, on top of everything, accomplishes, I think, a goal for the Celtics. Ime is playing the vets too much. You clear out Dennis Schroeder. Maybe you even clear out Josh Richardson and you say, all right, it's time to figure out exactly what we have on the floor. Like, we know that these guys are playing well in practice, but not well enough to overtake some of these guys. Let's put these guys in the pressure situations and let's see how they can handle that. There are some deals that involve Richardson and one of the young guys, but I think one of the goals here for the next few months on a 500 team might be let's play these younger guys, Peyton Pritchard and then Langford or Nesmith or both, if they both stick around. Maybe you get one more veteran in to just kind of help be a shooter, a playmaker alongside these guys, but you still need to play these younger guys. And then you go from there to figure out over the summer, what moves do you need to make? Who is expendable? Who do you need to keep as far as these rotation role players? So all of that is to say that I do expect the Celtics to be active. If you move Schroeder, that's going to accomplish a goal as far as freeing up playing time. It's going to get you way under the tax. They can probably move one of Bol Bol, PJ Dozier, Bruno Fernando if they need to get further underneath the tax. because there are some deals out there, and I'll mention one later in the third segment, that you'll need to do that to bring in the type of guy that I'm talking about. But for now, I think Schroeder is absolutely on the way out. There might be some ancillary stuff. The Celtics might be active as far as trying to get in on other deals. But the rumors right now, the way it seems to be trending is, I think Schroeder is for sure gone. And the Celtics are just kind of canvassing the league to see what other fun stuff can you get into. Jaylen Brown's name was once again mentioned in conjunction with a Ben Simmons trade. What does that mean? I'll tell you. I'll tell you right after this, after I talk to you about Prize Picks. I've been talking about Prize Picks for a while now. If you haven't signed up yet, you're still in this window of where you can get a great deal, because they have this exclusive no-brainer of an offer. You get $50 free if any of your Prize Picks entries scores one single point. Pretty easy. They want to give you this $50, but you got to use the code NBA. It's an exclusive offer for Locked On fans who only use the code NBA. Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy NBA prop game on the market. It offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. It offers all the superstar players. It even offers the bench players that you love to try to pick, but don't get a whole lot of playing time. They offer any prop you can think of, from points, assists, rebounds, three-pointers made, all of that stuff. What you do is you pick 2, 3, 4, 5 players. You pick an over-under on their projections. You can actually win up to 10 times on any entry. And the best part is, and I know the worst part about daily fantasy is all the people who have, you know, technological advantages. This is just you against the projected numbers. That's what makes this so much fun. And it's your battle of, you know, how much do you know? So you can play a flex play with an NFL. You can play multiple teams. You can mix sports. It's fantastic. And it takes like 30 seconds to make your selections. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Go to prizepicks.com today or go to your App Store, download the app. All users that make a deposit and use the promo code NBA will get $50 free if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. So all users that make the deposit, use the promo code NBA, you get $50 free if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen. I have a very important announcement that I'm very proud to be a part of. Trade deadline. This entire show is trade deadline. Thursday, February 10th at 3 p.m. Locked On NBA is going to be covering it live from 2 to 4, and I will be one of the hosts for that show. It's me. It's Kim Becker. It's Locked On Fantasy Basketball host Josh Lloyd. It's NBA veteran Antonio Daniels. You get analysis of every blockbuster move. So subscribe to Locked On NBA YouTube. Turn on your notifications so you know when we go live. I'm very excited to be part of the live Locked On coverage of the trade deadline. It's going to be coverage unlike you've ever heard anywhere else. You can't get this level of expertise anywhere else. Okay, moving on. We know Ben Simmons is on the verge of being traded somewhere. Shams Charania, Sam Amick of The Athletic have a report that suggests that the Simmons saga can go into the summer, and says, quote, for his part, James Harden has focused on the Nets' championship aspirations this season. It's unclear how he sees the prospects of playing in Philadelphia or with Joel Embiid, but all indications are that the Sixers truly believe they have a chance of landing him. If they can't land Harden, they will continue pursuing the likes of Portland's Damian Lillard, Washington's Bradley Beal, or Boston's Jaylen Brown. So let's put it this way. I think that mention of Jaylen Brown is just a cursory, that a guy that they covet, and if the Celtics, for some reason, continue to collapse and Jaylen has expressed some sort of desire to leave, that Brad Stevens would pivot and say, okay, we got to make the best of this and make a move. No one expects this. Jaylen Brown is untouchable. Jaylen has been part of the I think, overall process. I think they've included him on the process on this team. I think he wants to be here for the long term, figuring this out with Jason Tatum. So I don't think this is anything more than yeah, we will kick the tires. We'll call Boston. If we can't get Harden, we'll call Portland, Washington, and Boston and see what we can do. That, I think, is the end of it. There has been no discussion between Boston and Philadelphia besides, no, Jaylen Brown is not available. This entire piece talks about Sacramento, Atlanta, Toronto, and Indiana all having some level of interest in Ben Simmons. So I think Jaylen Brown is out. I think he's untouchable. The goal is to build around him and Tatum. The only thing that would change that is if all of a sudden Giannis Antetokounmpo said, hey, you know what? I'm sick of Milwaukee. Get me out of here. You know, one of those level, you know, it would have to be like Steph Curry. And even Steph Curry, you know, I'd be like, you'd get Steph Curry. I mean, I'm just kind of joking. But like, you have to have like that level of, okay, it's going to take Jaylen Brown and Smart and picks and those guys. Like, that's the type of deal Jaylen Brown would move in. Which is to say, there is no deal where Jaylen Brown's getting moved because those aren't realistic deals. There is no smoke to this fire. I'm going to make it as clear as possible. The Athletic is mentioning this just because it's a guy that Philly would be interested in. It's not happening. On top of that, I think Brad Stevens would have to be crazy to trade Jaylen Brown to the Sixers and have Jaylen Brown revenge games against the Celtics all the time. I mean, that would be wild. I know what Jaylen Brown can be like when he's that engaged. Oh my God. I mean, he'll drop 60 on the Celtics. So they don't want to deal with that. It makes much more sense for the Celtics to pursue other avenues around Brown and Tatum. Side note, Philly could be screwing this whole thing up. And that helps the Celtics because in the Atlantic, you've got Toronto, which is a good team with good, talented players, good coach. But what's their ceiling as currently constructed? Are they a championship team? I don't know. I mean, Scotty Barnes is a good player. Fred VanVleet's going to, I think, should be an all-star this year. And that makes them a good team. Does that make them a top three team in the East? I don't know. I think their ceiling might be 3 or 4 seed and a puncher's chance at a title, which puts them in that kind of almost hamster wheel of being this close away, but not quite taking that leap. So, you know, Masai Ujiri is going to have some work to do. I think he's one of the best. So he'll be willing to make the hard trade. And you never know what's going to happen with Pascal Siakam, who's mentioned also in these rumors as well. But if Toronto's one team, Philly obviously is the class of the Atlantic. Brooklyn. What am I talking about? Brooklyn's in the division. But Brooklyn is very close to aging out. Kyrie doesn't have a contract for next year. James Harden isn't committed to next year. That could fall apart quickly. Philly, if the Joel Embiid, like this is Joel Embiid's like another potential MVP year, but he's 27 and he's, I don't want to say fragile, but he has a long injury history. He's a big man with an injury history. And it's not like a guy who at his size, you tend to not last quite as long. Sorry, but that's the truth. You don't last quite as long. He's 27. He's having an MVP season right now. I think they're screwing up by not pushing for something now. Take advantage of his NBA season, his MVP season now. You're blowing it. Milwaukee is vulnerable off the championship hangover. Brooklyn is vulnerable. Harden is not entirely himself. Kevin Durant's just a freak because he continues to stay healthy or come back from injuries healthy. I know he's hurt, but like he continues to come back from these injuries and be like, oh yeah, that was no problem. Yeah, I'm out with the meniscus thing for a couple of weeks, but come back and be like, no problem, I'm done. I'm fine. But the Kyrie stuff, like it's they're vulnerable right now. Now is the time in the East for Philly to be like, yeah, let's do it. There's nobody out West that's going to compete with Embiid at that level. Even Denver, I don't think Denver is going to even make it that far to have that opportunity. So of those potential contenders for the title, who's is Rudy Gobert? Like, this is the opportunity for Philly. They're, if they blow it, I'd be very interested to see how Embiid reacts, how he reacts past the deadline. If they don't do anything past the deadline, if that has a mental impact on him, it'd be very interesting for the Celtics to sit back and watch Philly. I don't know. I don't want to say implode just yet, but I think Embiid's carrying this team, and he might have that expectation of, you didn't get me any help at the deadline. I was hoping for help at the deadline. So we'll see how that goes. Very interesting for Celtics fans to watch. Also very interesting are the Sacramento Kings, who the Celtics are playing on Tuesday night. Are the Sacramento Kings the trade partner for the Boston Celtics? Every team, every one of our Locked On podcasts is Sacramento our trade partner. I'll talk about that next. First, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. It's a new year. Happy betting year. Happy new betting year from Bet Online. Number one spot for all your sports wagering action for 2022. Head on over to the desktop and mobile site. You'll sign up today with the promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever your favorite sport is, you can also get your favorite Vegas casino games. You can bet on all of that stuff. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Today's show also brought to you by my friends at CrackSauce.com. C-R-A-I-C sauce.com. A locally made craft hot sauce, which is made from all local ingredients. It's a Celtics season ticket holder up in Lowell, Massachusetts, using local farms, his own farm, other local farms, and they put 10 to 20 ingredients in each bottle of this hot sauce to give you flavor with the heat. So it's not just peppers and vinegar and just heat off the charts that makes your head explode, which is fine sometimes. I like doing that too. You know, you get the sweat, a little bit of a sweat, and you're like, oh man, I'm a fan of that. But also the versatile, multidimensional ingredients that they have, the flavor that they add to your food is top notch. I just had fish tacos for dinner and I pulled out the Meal City Red, which is great. This is your red hot sauce, a Caribbean style hot sauce that gives that extra kick. But if you want a curry flavor, Brian Burroughs curry, the 40 shades of green chili, the golden pumpkin, think about all of those different flavors there. They all bring different levels of heat, and they're going to add something to your recipes that when somebody takes a bite or a spoonful, they're going to be like, whoa, what's your secret ingredient? It's Crack Hot Sauce, C-R-A-I-C. And if you go to cracksauce.com right now, use the promo code Locked On, you're going to get 10% off Crack Sauce products. C-R-A-I-C sauce.com. Promo code Locked On for 10% off. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On Bets your second listen every day? Locked On Bets is going to get you some great advice when you're throwing money down over there at Bet Online. Try Locked On Bets for some good advice. Maybe they'll help you win a few extra bucks. Check them out wherever you get your podcasts. Final trade rumor that I want to talk about here that directly impacts the Celtics comes from James Hamm of Kings Beat, who says core players like Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Rashawn Holmes are available, according to a source. The hope is that there are different combinations of players that somehow fit with De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton. So the rumor from Sacramento, and this is across the board, different sources, different outlets, they kind of report the same thing. De'Aaron Fox, untouchable. So when you're thinking up rumors, when you're playing with a trade machine, De'Aaron Fox, don't bother. Tyrese Haliburton, don't bother. Harrison Barnes, go ahead and bother. I don't think Buddy Hield is the guy. I'm not sure Rashawn Holmes, although maybe. But if there's one player on the Kings that I would be interested in, and I think the Celtics can pull off a deal for, it's Harrison Barnes. And here's how it happens. And this is why I think it makes somewhat sense to at least try it. I don't know if the Celtics have what it takes. And it depends on a few things. It depends on how the Kings value what the Celtics are offering. It depends on how that compares to what other teams are offering. I think he's going to be popular. So I'm not saying the Celtics have what it takes to get him, but I think they should make a move. And at least that's one of my, that would be probably one of my targets. He's 29 years old. He's under contract next year. It's $20.3 million this year. It's 18 and change next year. So it goes down. So he's under contract for one more year. He's a little older and maybe therefore not exactly on the timeline, but it's possible. It's not bad. So right now the Celtics have the maximum 15 players, right? So they have an opportunity to move a couple of guys and maneuver in order to get something like this done. Harrison Barnes is under contract for $20.3 million. If you take Josh Richardson and one of Romeo Langford and Aaron Nesmith and say those two and a pick somehow. Now, some sort of sweetener. Is that enough to get the deal done? Financially, it works. Financially, if they move Dennis Schroeder and get a second or 2 second round picks for him, if they move him and clear that level of space, and then you can move Bull Bull. You can send Bull Bull in cash to the Oklahoma City Thunder to clear out a little extra tax, a little extra salary room there. You take in the 20.3, Josh plus one of these guys. There's about a $5 million difference or so. The difference in the salaries here, that it works financially as far as trades go. It also works luxury tax wise because the difference is basically what Schroeder makes. So you take Schroeder and you take Bull Bull, for example, and you say, okay, Schroeder out somewhere, somebody actually wants him, Bull Bull as a salary dump, that gives you enough room under the luxury tax for a Harrison Barnes. And it just depends on what are you willing to part with? How do you feel about Aaron Nesmith? How do you feel about Romeo Langford long-term? Do you think those guys have an impact long term? What are you willing to do to re-sign Harrison Barnes after a couple of years? This year, next year, if he's good enough, are you willing to re-sign him? It probably would be less than the $18 million that he's making, but is he the type of guy that you either can keep long term as a supporting piece, a shooter around these guys, a proven shooter around these guys, or is he a guy that you feel like you can flip next year as part of the deal to kind of continue to maneuver? But either way, that's a deal that sort of makes sense. Buddy Hield is too expensive to make this work. You dip into the luxury tax if you do that. And I don't want to do that. I don't think the owners want to do that. It's just, it doesn't make sense. I know that Hield is a better overall shooter, but man, that dude is a high volume shooter. And he is a worse defender too. So I think somebody like Barnes, who kind of fits alongside these guys, can make the shots and be a third or fourth option. That's something that I think the Celtics could probably kick the tires on. But again, I'm not suggesting that Richardson, Nesmith, or Richardson and Romeo plus a pick, whether it's a second rounder or a heavily protected first, something that is like top 15, top 12, and then 2 seconds after, or some like that. Is that enough to get the job done? I don't know that it is. I'm not saying here that it is. I'm not saying the Celtics should even make a huge run at Harrison Barnes. But if I'm looking at names and things that work financially and the rumors that are out there, I think Harrison Barnes, I think, is worth a discussion. I think it's worth a little bit of a talk, and you kind of see where it goes from there. But those are the rumors. Those are the big ones right now. The rumor mill is continuing to turn, and I will be following it, as well as obviously the Celtics and Kings playing basketball on Tuesday night, where I will be at the Garden in person, watching that game, talking to the Celtics before and after the game. I am going to give you all of the inside information that I can give you on the podcast. And so, I hope you subscribe. I hope it's good enough to keep you around. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. Thank you for making it your first listen or your first watch if you're watching the show on YouTube. Really do appreciate everyone who's watching the show on YouTube. It's something that we're trying to build up. Like I said, 3,600 subscribers right now, which is great. Let's keep pushing. I want to get to 4,000 at some point in the next month or so. So please subscribe, share the podcast, tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.